From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his overview of the book of Ephesians, part of a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The main emphasis in Ephesians is upon the church as the body of Christ. Paul draws attention to the spiritual nature of the church, stressing that the church is inseparable from Christ. It's God's intention that the church should be effective on earth. The key to this is its ministry. God has given special gifts to his church, which include, but are not limited to, pastors and teachers. Every believer is to have a part in the witness of Christ's church. Part of the church's effectiveness depends upon its morality. Christians are not to use the world as their standard for living. In the final chapter of the epistle, Paul reminds believers that they are in a spiritual battle and that they must prepare themselves accordingly by having on the whole armor of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this overview of Ephesians under the title, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Let No Evil Remain. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 17. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. Israel must conquer idolatrous cities, and destroy all the spoil, regarding all that had been polluted by idolatry as an accursed thing to be burned with fire. Now sin of all sorts must be treated by Christians in the same manner. We must not allow a single evil habit to remain. It is now war to the knife with sins of all sorts and sizes, whether of the body, the mind, or the spirit. We do not look upon this giving up of evil as deserving mercy, but we regard it as a fruit of the grace of God, which we would on no account miss. When God causes us to have mercy on our sins, then he has great mercy on us. When we are angry with evil, God is no more angry with us. When we multiply our efforts against iniquity, the Lord multiplies our blessings. The way of peace, of growth, of safety, of joy in Christ Jesus will be found by following out these words, There shall naught of the cursed thing cleave to thine hand. Lord, purify me this day. Compassion, prosperity, increase and joy will surely be given to those who put away sin with solemn resolution.
Make your love, Lord Christ, endure.
We often see the word revival on a church marquee, and yet, what really constitutes revival? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America, associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the western coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. And yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying out for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak makes available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The Church of Jesus Christ was in the very center of the plan and purpose of God from all eternity. That's the mystery of the church. Thus, this mystery is that by grace, through faith, without works, the Gentiles are admitted to the full blessing of the Abrahamic covenant, and they don't have to become Jews to get in. The middle wall of partition is broken down, chapter 2, verse 15. All in the body are now, Jew or Gentile, redeemed, united to Christ, reconciled, regenerated, sealed by the Spirit of God. The church will be effective on earth if it keeps this in mind. The spiritual nature of the church. Don't try to make it like any other organization. Don't think that you'll import the practices of business or any other organization into the church and say, it works there, so it will work here. This is a spiritual organization of redeemed people united to Christ, regenerated by the Spirit, reconciled to God, indwelt and sealed by the Spirit, treated as such. And that will be the key to our effectiveness. Another key will be our ministry. The ministry of the church, chapter 4, verse 8. Christ ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now look at verse 11 and 12. These gifts, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Now what's it all for? Let me substitute for the word for the word unto, because that's the original force of the word. He gave these gifts in the church, verse 12, unto the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, do you see how one thing leads to another? The gifts are given. Pastors, teachers, officers in the church, the whole setup of the church, the ministry of the church is given to lead the saints to maturity. Saints are led to maturity to do the work of the ministry. You do the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. In other words, the church doesn't run because the pastor works. The church doesn't work because the session works, the elders. The church doesn't work because of gifted men in office. We need gifted men in office. But my friend, this church will only work as the ministry touches you. And as you are stirred in likeness to Jesus Christ to touch others. In other words, as the church is working in all its parts, I haven't time to go on through this fourth chapter, verse 16, for example. The whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. My, what a picture of a body. Look. You can look at your own body. You'll not get very far tomorrow on your way to work if the only part that's working is your head, but your feet aren't working. You'll not do very much tomorrow if the only part that's working is your feet, but your hands are stuck behind your back. If you're going to live life in this world, the body, the head, every part of the body has to be supplying its own particular supply to the whole work. That's the way it is in the church. Every part in the ministry, this is the key to the church's effectiveness on earth. When every Christian is a witness, when every Christian is a worker, when every Christian takes his full responsibility and stops putting it off onto others, that's effectiveness on earth. And then something else that's very vital is our morals, the morals of the church. And this is chapter 4, chapters 4 to 6. It's in the world. What's the call to the Christian in the world? Off with the old, on with the new, and walk worthy of Christ before men. Get rid of the old man, the old life, the old habits, the old things, and put on the new man. Walk worthy of Christ in the world. In the church, your morals in the church. This is a whole study in itself. The standard, my friend, in the Church of Jesus Christ is this. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And therefore, verse 3 of chapter 4, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As Paul puts it in the end of chapter 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When you come together into the church, you're not just so many disparate individuals. You're not so many people from so many cultures, so many backgrounds, so many jobs, so many talents, so many different things that would divide us one from another. I tell you, when you come together into the church of Christ, you realize we're members of the body of Jesus Christ. That's the standard. Watch what you say to God's people. Watch what you do to God's people. Why? Because the standard of all our action and interaction is our union in Jesus Christ. In all that, we are to be submitting ourselves one to another. It's the hardest thing. I know so many people come to Ephesians 5 and they say, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Yes. Any woman that's not willing to submit herself to her husband is simply not willing to submit herself to Christ. It's as simple as that. But any husband that thinks that's all the Bible has to say about submission and subjection is as blind as a bat. We're submitting ourselves in the church of Jesus Christ one to another because we come together to submit ourselves to Him. That's the standard. That will lead to separation. Chapter 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Separation from sin, from apostasy. It will lead to service. Verse 16 and 17 of chapter 5. Especially understanding what the will of the Lord is as we seek to redeem the opportunity in this evil day. And it will lead to spiritual fullness. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, the morals of the church, in the world, in the church, in the home. Do you know what's wrong with our churches? So much is wrong in our churches because so much is wrong in our homes. Wives assuming a position that is not theirs. Do you notice that it's since women started to wear the pants that homes are falling apart? We now have a society where the mother-child relationship is the most important thing in the home. And I want to tell you that is the devil's counterfeit of a Christian home. The mother-child relationship is not the center of the home. It is the husband-wife relationship that is the center of the home. That's the heart of the home. Because that is the picture of Christ in His church. And when a husband and a wife are rightly related to Christ and to each other in Christ, then they each will be rightly related to their children. And instead of children growing up as little idols who are going to have their lives wrecked and ruined because foolish parents have made gods out of them. Instead of that, they be raised as responsible children within the bonds of the covenant of grace. You'll see them saved. And you'll see them filled with the blessing of God. In the home, our relationships are very important. Then in business, masters and servants, the morals of God's people are a key to our effectiveness on earth. The church is exalted to heaven, effective on earth, and thank God it's empowered over hell. The engagement, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against all the powers of hell. We're in the battle. Thank God we're not in it alone. 6:10 says that we have an empowerment or an endowment, because there we are told, be strong, be empowered, be endued in the power of God's might. I want to tell you, my friend, there's such a thing as the fullness of the Holy Ghost. There's such a thing as the endowment of power. Power to live, power to fight the devil, power to storm the strongholds of hell, power to witness, and power to work. There's the endowment. Then there's the equipment. What is it? The whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. What is the whole armor of God? Christ in all his fullness, enjoyed and experienced by faith. May the Lord today show us that as his people, as his church, we are by his grace formed and filled to be his triumphant witness to heaven, earth, and hell. And may God make us such a people to be such a witness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Give fruit for its proclamation. Lord, use the word today to bring conviction of sin to the lost and to lead them all the way to Christ. And, O Lord, use thy word to stir up thy people fully to follow the Lord. We want, as the body of Christ, to express to heaven, earth, and hell a testimony to thy glorious grace and thy marvelous wisdom. Lord, answer prayer, we do beseech of thee, and part us with thy very richest blessing. Be our abiding portion both this Lord's day and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.